Morning, church. Hey, I'm just going to let you know, if this is the least, your least favorite part of our service together, you're in good company. This is my least favorite part, too. It really is. I could sing for another hour and commune with God. But this morning, we're going to take a look and hopefully better understand. Better understand, because if you and I are going to know Jesus as well as possible, if you and I are going to have the strength to follow Jesus faithfully as well as possible, we need to know who we're living for, who we're looking at, and who dwells in our lives. So we're going to go to our Father in prayer and ask for strength to do this. The song service, it just takes care of itself, but to receive the Word of God and to allow Him to change us from what He says and what He has done. This is His work. This is His work. And so we'll ask Him to do that work this morning. So let's go to Him in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We praise Your holy name. We are here because we believe. We are here because we trust You. We are here because we love You, and we are here because You deserve all that we have. Father, thank You for Your Son. And as we study the Scriptures today, as we see the words of Jesus, may we hear. May we better understand. May we be encouraged to be faithful this week. May we be encouraged to share what You have done for us. Father, we know that sometimes our witness is too quiet. Father, we know that sometimes we're stuck in our own desperation, and we know that we get stuck in our own problems and our own things. I pray that You open our hearts. That You open our hearts wide enough for other people. Your Son told us to love You with everything and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, I just pray that You make our hearts grow so that we will love our neighbors. So that we will offer the same mercy that has been offered to us. So that we will forgive when hurts have been committed. Father, that we will serve and meet the needs of those around us. That we will live like Jesus. Father, help us in this. Because we confess to You that we're weak. We take our eyes off of You. We fall over our own feet. We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong thing. Father, guide us to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are taking a look at who Jesus is, and that is, what does He say about Himself? So hopefully you and I will have a better answer when someone asks us, why are you a Christian? Who do you think Jesus is? And if you're devoting your life to Him, you should know Him pretty well. And we're in John chapter 5, and Jesus Himself had to prove this same thing. I mean, you may have had to try to prove this to somebody, and they say, why would you believe in God? You can't see Him. You can't touch Him. You can't hear Him. Why would you believe in Him? Why would you do this? Why are you here today? Jesus faced those same questions. People came at Him and said, well, who are you? What do you say about yourself? I mean, you're standing up a lot. You're gathering a bunch of people. The crowds are coming all around. So who are you? Why should we be listening to you? Why should we listen to anything that you say? And in John chapter 5, Jesus says, I am God's Son. I am the Son of God. And He starts to point to all the witnesses that prove, that basically back up this claim. And, four of them. I love four of them. Because four of them, just like Jesus, he can just point his finger right to and say, see that right there? That's proof. And everyone who heard his message, everyone who was there with him, they could look right at that witness and say, oh, okay, all right. And so we started with John, right? He said, hey, remember John? You guys respect John. John was pretty popular. The people who believed, they believed John. They believed he was sent from God. They listened to his message. They accepted his baptism. And they said, this is a prophet. This is a man sent by God. Whatever he says, we're going to believe. And of course, John pointed to Jesus and said, that's him. That's the reason the Father sent me out to say all these things and to have this ministry. So Jesus says, see, John was pointing you to me. And then he said the works. Jesus said, hey, the things that I'm doing, you can't do these things. And we think about all the signs and the miracles and the power that Jesus himself did in the presence of other people. Nobody else was doing those things. So he says, that power, that's not me, that's from God. God gave me this power to do for you. And then we get,
I'm going to jump something.
Next week, we get to look at the scriptures. And Jesus says, hey, your Bible, that's my story. Yeah, the scrolls, you gather together and you read them. Today we're blessed with our own leather-bound copies, or, you know, the majority of the audience with your digital copies. Jesus says, all of those things, that's about me. That's about me. And then he finishes for the difficult ones in the crowd. He says, oh yeah, Moses, your hero, he was talking about me too. But today we have to deal with the one right in the middle, the witness that is most difficult. Jesus says, I am the Son of God, and it is God himself who bears witness about me. Now, I mean, this is kind of difficult, because anyone can come along and say anything. And we can look at them and say, well, why would you say that? Or why would you believe that? Or why would you do this? Oh, because God told me to. And what just went through your mind? Yeah, right. And yet that's the witness that Jesus points to next. The witness that Jesus points to is the Father. And let's take a look in John chapter 5. Look at verse 37. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you've never heard, his form you have never seen, and you don't have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. So Jesus basically calls to the stand an invisible witness who doesn't speak for himself, and says, see? Proof. Now, about this time, you can imagine everyone sitting around going, oh, wait a minute, Jesus. You want us to believe that you are the Son of God. That is, you came from there, and you're now here, and you're telling us all what he who is there says. And you want us all to believe that everything that you say and do has been given to you directly from he who is there? And Jesus says, exactly, now you're getting it. And Jesus says, and here's why you should believe that I am from he who is there. He's my witness. You can't hear him. You haven't seen him. He's there. This is one of those moments being a Christian, following in the steps of Jesus. I'm like, really? This is what you're giving me? I'm trying to be faithful, Lord. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to trust. And you're taking me to a place, and all I've got is the testimony of the Father. All right. Now, it's safe to say that you and I might have struggled with this before, right? That we may have had a hard time with this. I want us to take a look at the first thing, because Jesus says, the Father has borne witness about me. The Father has said, I am his son. You didn't hear it, but he said it. Let's turn over to Luke's gospel real quick. It's recorded twice in the gospels that Jesus heard the Father's voice while he is here in the flesh. And the first one is in Luke chapter 3. Do you know those two times in Jesus' life where God shows up, where he breaks through, and where he says something? What's the first one? When he was baptized. Exactly. What was the second one? On the mountain. Exactly. With just the three disciples. So I want us to take a look just real quick at these two moments. Okay? So when Jesus, when it's time to begin his earthly ministry, because you'll remember, he is born of God, but he is born of a woman, and he is raised in this carpenter's house and in this carpenter's family. And, you know, he had a job, he worked, he went to church with his family, and he just lived what would be a pretty normal life as everybody else around him. And then when John comes out saying, all right, it's time, the Lamb of God is coming, Jesus comes to John, and Jesus is baptized just like everybody else. Except the thing is, it's not just like everybody else, because Jesus is not baptized for sins. He didn't have any sins to be baptized for. And Jesus himself would say, when he came to John, you'll remember the story, he comes to John, he says, hey, I need to be baptized also. And John said, oh, I can't do that. Even though God told John, hey, you're baptizing to find my son. John said, I can't baptize you. I mean, I'm not worthy. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no. We are doing this to fulfill all righteousness. This is fulfilling God's purposes. And so John says, oh, okay, all right, I'll baptize you, Jesus. And when he baptizes Jesus, something different happens than all the other baptisms, right? Again, I'm convinced that our indoor baptisms are a problem. And you'll see why in just a second. But that's just me. When Jesus is baptized, let's take a look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Now, Jesus, we've covered all this, and you know this to be true. Jesus is with the Father before anything was made. Jesus was the power by which everything has been made, and everything that has been made is for the glory of Jesus. It's all for him. So he's always been there, but Jesus goes through what you and I go through. He came in the flesh. He was born, and he grew up, and he lived life here. And living life here, for a time, he is separated from the presence of the Father in such a way that he is now connecting with how we have to live with the Father, by faith. He'd seen everything. He remembered exactly what the Father wanted him to give and to share and to teach. But now he's having to do that without the Father being right there beside him. And so at this moment in his life, he comes out of the water, and the Spirit comes down on him in bodily form, like a dove, like a gentle bird, not to mention that this is, you know, dove's special weekend, right? For those of you following your calendars at home, dove season starts this weekend. So the dove comes down on him, the Spirit dwells in him, and God speaks. God speaks and said, Son, I love you and I'm proud of you. Whew. Now, if any of you are a son or a daughter and have ever heard those words from one of your parents, right? I'm proud of you. In fact, I only raise boys. Some of you raise girls, boys, whatever, and you know how they're different. And it was said to me that, you know, when mom says to a kid, "I love you," that it fills that place in their hearts that they need mom to fill, of nurturing and caring. But what boys want to hear from their father is not so much I love you, but I'm proud of you. And having sons, I understand that. I get that. That meant something more. I said, I love you, you know, every night. We put them to bed and say our prayers, and I love you. But when they did something really good, when they did something right, and I said, I'm proud of you, that's what they were looking for. That's what sons were looking for. They were looking to hear their father's voice say, you're doing it right. You're doing it exactly as I would have you to do it. And that does something in them. That just fills their heart with some kind of special, Dad's proud. Dad looks at me and says, yes, that's my son. And this is what God does for Jesus. God breaks through and he says, this is my son. And I am proud of him. He is doing what I have asked him to do. It's not easy. And it's not going to get any easier for a little while. And he's doing it. Excuse me. So this is the witness that Jesus points to and says, this is for me. The Father gave me this witness. You didn't hear it. You probably weren't even there when it happened for me. But it happened, and I'm holding on to it. I know who I am because the Father has said, this is who you are. Now, church, you are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and you are living your life, and you are trying really hard, and you are getting back up when you stumble, and the enemy's knocking you down, and you're like, okay, Lord, I messed today up, but I'm going to go again. I am not giving up. And you need to know in your heart, your Father in heaven speaking to you as well. You are my child. I love you, and I am so proud of you. You keep going. Jesus says, that's my witness. That's what I need. The second one, we'll go ahead a few chapters in Luke chapter 9. Here's the mountain. And you'll remember on this mountain, Jesus is called up. We're not going to read the whole story. You can go back in Luke chapter 9 and read the story this afternoon or this week. But he goes up on the mountain, and he just takes a couple of his disciples. And when he goes on the mountain, Moses and Elijah are there. And again, we've had the lesson. It's not the full thing. I just want you to hear what the Father shows up and says today. So we're going to go down to Luke chapter 9, verse 34. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. So in these two moments, we basically hear the Father, the witness that Jesus points to. He says, look, I know I'm from God because God himself has said certain things about me. So Jesus says, the Father's witness, he has called me his son. He said he has chosen me. He says I am beloved. He loves me. And he has told everyone to listen to what I have to say. Now, this is so important in the life and the ministry and the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God's only Son. It is so important for him to have these words to be able to face everyone that he would face who would say, you're a liar. You're a sinner. You have a demon. In other words, you're from Satan. I don't know if you've ever had anyone tell you that. That one might sting a little. I'm just here trying to serve the Lord. I'm just here trying to do what's right. And someone would look at me and say, you're from hell. It's probably kind of important to have a stronger voice echoing in my heart and in my mind that tells me who I really am. Now, you may not have anyone saying such strong things about you, but you probably have people saying less than nice things about you. You probably have people in your life that have questioned your intelligence, your integrity, your ability, your sincerity. Maybe people have made up lies about you. Maybe people have gossiped about you. Maybe people have just said things that aren't true. And maybe you've been taken down or discouraged by what someone else said to you. So what better or what must be stronger in your mind than those voices that you're going to hear around you? It's got to be the voice of your Father, doesn't it? It has to be the witness of your Father in heaven who says, "You are my child. I love you. I'm proud of you. Keep it up." Church, this is a very powerful witness, and this is a very personal witness to Jesus. What he had to know and what he had to trust to accomplish the Father's will. And for Jesus, this reassured him in the face of opposition. Now, let's go back to John's gospel, and we're going to pick up the story in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Chester read this scripture for us, and I wanted us to see this today, because here we have this same opposition that just keeps giving Jesus a hard time, because they're trying to figure out, number one, if you're from God, if you're truly from God, and we claim to be God's people, we claim to be following God, if you really are from God, we need to know it. We don't think you are, but if you are, we need to know it. And again, Jesus points to the witness of the Father. In John chapter 8, people are doubting him, and Jesus says, look, they really do what we do. They go on what they see, right? We judge the world by our own experiences. I see something, okay, I can trust that. I know it to be true. Or I have been programmed to have faith in certain institutions or in certain sources, right? At some point in our life, we stop trusting those sources. Remember growing up? Remember at one time when everything your mom said was, that was just how it was? And then at some point you just went, nah, I don't think so. Like at some point mom would just say, hey, it's cold outside, we're going to put on a jacket. And then at some age mom says, hey, it's cold outside, you're going to want a jacket. And you're like, I'm not cold. And, you know, it's snowing outside and you're going to school in shorts. Or is that just my sons? My sons. Hey, it's cold outside, hence the white stuff falling out of the sky, and my sons are in basketball shorts and a t-shirt. Nah, it's not cold. Cold's a construct. I don't feel it. I'm immune, right? It's, yeah, that was my boys. Maybe not your boys, but that was mine. They didn't feel cold. So at certain times, you and I tend to doubt certain things, but then at other times, you and I, we have blind faith in some ridiculous things, don't we? I mean, we really do. I was expecting 6 inches of rain this last week. I mean, I was expecting it because I was praying, God, please send us 6 inches. But the forecast for the last 3 days, what? It's been, whew, we were supposed to be raining. And we look at that and go, all right, rain's coming. And little rain came. We got a little bit of rain. Right? And you check that phone for the weather. What am I going to wear tomorrow? Hopefully you're not going to work. Hopefully you just get a day of rest tomorrow. And you're like, hey, we got an activity. We're going to go out. We're going to do something. What do I need to wear? And we put our faith in our phone and say, oh, the weather app says it's going to be this. I will prepare for that. Again, there's hundreds of examples of all the things we put our faith in that we can't see. We don't know, but we trust that it's true, right? I was telling somebody after the little rain that we didn't get on Saturday, or maybe it was Friday. Friday was the day we actually got rain, right? I was telling someone, I said, man, I would have loved to have been a weatherman. I would love to get paid to be wrong. I think I could really get on board for that gig. That just get the paycheck, and it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Just smile while you're saying it. I would love that gig. But Jesus says, look, there's some things that you haven't seen that you're just going to have to trust. There are some things that are out of this world that you're going to have to believe to be true. And just as Jesus points to that witness, church, you and I live every day with that same witness. You and I make decisions every day on the reality and the truth of our Father in heaven. We believe in His Word. We believe what He says. We believe what He has done. We believe He's there. And yet someone may question us and say, well, why do you believe? Well, I believe because of what? Well, because of the evidence. The evidence that God has shown me. Well, I haven't seen any evidence, so I'm not going to believe. Or, I think you're a little crazy because who believes in things they can't see? Children. The mentally insane. Right? I mean, I'm just throwing out some categories here. Who hears voices that I can't find a source to? Who sees things that no one else can see? You got a great imagination, or we're going to lock you up. Right? And that's Jesus' witness. He said, the Father that you can't see. I know He's there. I know He's there because, see, I'm not like all of you. I look like all of you because I'm here in the flesh right now, but I'm not like all of you. And He said there in John chapter 8, oh, I got to find the verse. Verse 15. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I am the Father who sent me. All right. So, and down in verse 23. You're from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Oh, good. That helps me, Jesus. You're an alien. That's really going to get people on board. These are the words Jesus is using to convince other people of who He is. And again, I'm just putting it in today's language so that you and I make a connection and understand what Jesus is going through. Because if you have ever tried to tell, have you ever shared your faith and someone looked at you like you were the alien? Wait, you believe in what now? Whoa. So after you die, you think, huh, is going to happen? That's the looks Jesus is getting. And He is proud and not ashamed to continue to point to the witness of the Father and say, that's where my hope is. That's where my trust is. That's where my faith is. And I love that Jesus points them to this difficult witness. Because I can point you to the Scriptures. Look, you want to theologize? Let's go. I will roll up my sleeves. I will concordance you to death. I love the witness of the Scriptures. Right? Only problem is not everybody respects the Scriptures. I mean, if you don't believe the Bible to be the Word of God, then what are we talking about? It doesn't matter. If we both claim to believe that the Bible is true, oh, then I'll find it, and I will beat you down with what I know is in the Bible. Bet. All right? Love that witness. Love the witness of other people. Jesus pointed to John. I'll point to my dad. He's in the room. He taught me about Jesus, and I'll point you right to him. Say, why do I believe? See that guy? He raised me on Jesus. Go talk to him. He knew before I did. He's older than me. He's wiser than me. I believed what he said when I was young. See? Another easy witness, right? So Jesus is pointing them to these witnesses. Now, if I could do miracles, I'd point to some miracles. And Jesus does that. But the Father's a difficult witness. And he says, you can't see him. You just got to believe that he's there. And you and I, living our life by faith, trusting in something we cannot see, have to have strong enough conviction to save our souls and to actually open our mouths and care enough that other people need their souls saved in the exact same way. Jesus knew this witness was not going to win him points with everybody. That's why we read John chapter 8. But in the debate of who Jesus is, and here's the popular debate today, and here's what you're going to run into. This is part of the reason why we're doing this study. Who is Jesus? Because so many people say, well, you know, Jesus was a prophet. I'll give you that. Or Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God. That's a bridge too far. Well, Jesus' own words say that he is the Son of God. And the source that we are using to learn about the life of Jesus, I either have to believe all of it or I can't believe any of it, right? I mean, I am not bold enough to say, oh yeah, yeah, John's gospel, it's real. Mark's, you can't trust Mark's. I can't do that. So if we believe that this is okay, if we're at least going to work from the same source, then I have to believe what Jesus says about himself. I have to trust that. If you trust that, then we can have a conversation. If you don't trust that, if you don't know who Jesus is, you don't trust my Bible, that's just my religious book, you got your religious book that says different things, well, we may have a different conversation. But here's what I do know. You cannot claim that Jesus was sent by God or was a great guy and then turn around and say, but Jesus is not the Son of God. Those two things, you can't have it both ways. Because if Jesus really was a prophet sent by God, and if Jesus really was a great guy or even got, you know, really close to living a sinless life, then I have to believe the words that he says to be true. And Jesus says he is the Son of God. And Jesus says the only way to be alive is through him. I have to take them both. So when you get in these conversations, when you talk to people from different backgrounds and beliefs and religions, and you get to that point in the conversation where they will concede that, okay, I believe half of who Jesus is, you need to be able to show them you can't have it halfway. You got to take all of Jesus. We can't just pick and choose. Well, I like these parts of Jesus, but I'm not a great fan of this part of Jesus. Jesus isn't having that. The Father's not having that. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and let's show us how important this is. 1 John chapter 5, that's at the end of the New Testament, pretty close to the end. First John chapter 5, last one we'll read today, because this is good. Because God knows how difficult it is to believe and trust in him when we can't see him right now. We showed up here today in faith. We're called to live our life this week through difficult circumstances, through temptation, through struggles, through suffering, through pain, knowing that God is with us, that God is looking out for us, that God is making everything work out for good. And you and I have to trust him enough that even though my today is really awful, God is still good. Even to be able to sing the song we sang today and to live, blessed be your name. I had a hard time singing it. Because even when there's pain in the offering, I'm going to praise God's name because God is bigger than everything that's going on in my offering. And some days that's difficult to sing, is it not? Because sometimes we can't look past the pain in our own offering. Sometimes we can't see past the struggles that we are having, the difficulties and the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and we just want to focus on what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with my life, what's broken, what's not even working right. Right? I mean, you want to see a Christian lose their faith, just kill their cell phone for 2 hours. We go crazy. Make the air conditioner die. I mean, I don't want that to happen to anyone, but you know what I mean. Something goes wrong. Oh. Car trouble. Talk to Tony at lunch today. How many good Christians lose their faith when their car doesn't do what it's supposed to do? If you deal with people in public, Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, you see it. You see it every single day. You ever been surprised when you learn someone, you find out someone's a Christian? You ever, that information ever, you know, come to you later in the conversation and you're like, oh, really? Huh. Interesting. I work in customer service. I see it all the time. I get the initial response to someone's frustrations and then learn that they're a Christian. And we go, oh, hey, we have that in common. That's fun for me because people just go, and they just, things change. Things change very quickly. Things change very quickly. But you and I have to be able to, blessed be his name no matter what. Our circumstances don't determine how good God is. God is good. God is good. And so here in 1 John chapter 5, we're going to get some wonderful news that's going to help us in this. 1 John chapter 5, let's start in verse 4. Now, this is participatory. You don't have to read it out loud. What I mean is, you need to believe this. It's for you. It's for you, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Everyone who has been born of God is victorious over everything in this world. And what does that victory look like, John? Well, that victory is our faith. If we trust in the God that we cannot see and we cannot touch, we have God's victory. And the great thing about God, him being, you know, eternal and all, outside of our time and space, not constrained like we are, whenever God says it, it's as good as done. It may not have happened in our timeline yet, but it's as good as done. That's why we read so many promises in the Bible when it talks about our eternal nature, or when it talks about the fact that we as believers in Christ, we're born again. Death is no longer a thing for us. We're alive. Now, you and I may have gone to some funerals and our eyes look and we say, oh, nope, I see death. How can these two things be? Well, we see things just like Jesus told those Jews in John chapter 8. Yeah, you're from below. So you see things from the below perspective. You experience life from the below perspective. Jesus says, I'm from above. I have a different view. Then he invites us to take on his view, does he not? In fact, we're supposed to see things as God sees things, not just from down here, but from his perspective. So our faith is the victory that overcomes the world, verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I want victory over everything in the world. How do I do that? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He wasn't just a prophet, wasn't just a good guy, wasn't just a Middle Eastern man who lived and walked around and did some cool things 2,000 years ago. He is the Son of God. I believe that. I trust it. And so I have overcome everything in this world. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Remember that witness that Jesus pointed to the Father? He said, I know what God says about me, and that's good enough. Church, when you and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we have the testimony right here. No one's going to shake it. No one's going to take it. No one's going to break it. We have God's testimony. We have come to believe that Jesus Christ, His Son, came here. And we believe what He said. We believe what He did. We believe that He died for our sins. And we believe that the Father raised Him in justification. We win. That's our victory. That's our victory. Sorry. 9 or 10. Help me out. Verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So church, you and I are called to trust the same Heavenly Father that Jesus trusts. And so the Father in heaven spoke to him and said, "You are my beloved Son. I have chosen you for this difficult task. I am proud of you." And anyone around, they better listen up. And so church, you and I also, because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God has spoken to our hearts. God has assured us that we have eternal life. That we may have started here, but we shall not finish here. That because Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that the Father raised Him back to eternal life. And you and I, though starting here, we finish with Him. This is our victory. And not everybody you talk to is going to believe it. And not everybody you encounter is going to believe it. But you better believe it. If you need to put your faith in Christ today, if you need to be born again, if you need to trust what the Father has said for your life, we invite you to come.